I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast universe of lore behind the Mass Effect games. We'll talk about all the details you may have missed, ask the hard questions, and more.
Welcome back, Spectres. This is the Mass Effect Lorecast, and I'm your host, Tom, or Robots, and I'm here with my good buddy, Sam, and Seven the Legend. How's it going, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. So I was just streaming another game, Raft. Don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah. I haven't tried it out before, but I saw part of your stream. It looked like it's a fun game.
Yeah, very graphics, very similar to Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, it's got kind of that simplistic, stylized, almost cel-shaded kind of quality to it.
Yeah.
Like very cartoony. But man, speaking of Sea of Thieves, I actually played that with my son today. And man, that game, the graphics in that are just beautiful. It's just an amazing game. But anyway, we're here to talk about Mass Effect, which for its time had some great graphics. And it was, you know, it's been a year now since Legendary Edition came out, and they really re-upped those graphics a bit. But that's not the topic today. Last time we were talking about a very interesting character, Admiral Stephen Hackett, and we have some more to discuss. This is going to be Admiral Stephen Hackett part two, because and I know you and I have talked about this before, but Sam, you got some theories about this close relationship he's got going with Shepard.
Yeah. And, you know, last time when we left off the last episode, I realized after the fact that my tease for this episode last week insinuated that we were going to talk about a Hackett and Shepard romance.
It's hot.
Oh, fucking well, steamy.
I mean, either if you're a male or female Shepard, I mean, in both cases, I don't look at, or at least if I'm role playing my character, I don't look at Hackett as like, what a hottie, I want to hook up with him, you know.
Yeah. Every time he, you know, message coming in, I just, the hair is on the back of my neck raised up. Yeah,
it's all business with him. There's no pleasure.
Yeah, it's like 50 Shades of Hackett, right? Ew.
Oh god.
No, so that wasn't my intention, and but I guess we can work it in at some point. I don't know.
I guess real quick, I think there probably are some people out there that are really into the grizzled old guy ultra serious thing because they feel like, oh, I can crack that nut.
He's got the Clint Eastwood look. Yeah,
a bit of that. Yeah.
But you know,
not my thing.
Yeah, I'm recoiling at the notion personally, but we'll try to get there. But no, what I was going to say about Hackett and his oddly close working relationship with Shepard. Mm-hmm. It's a bit odd how close Hackett works with Shepard, considering how they're not really in the same command structure. I mean, the 63rd Scout Flotilla, which is what the Normandy is part of, that does fall under the 5th Fleet, right? But it's not like, with Shepard being a Spectre, it's not like Hackett's his boss, per se.
Right, yeah.
Or her boss, or their boss.
Their boss, sure.
While I'd be willing to say that Hackett is just using Shepard to get errands done for him, it seems like Hackett cares more about Shepard than that, than just, you know, having an errand specter.
Or somebody who's easy to bring in that's going to solve the problem. Somebody, you know how it is in any business, the command structure of the business is secondary to when you learn the personalities and who to go to for what. Right. Like,
yeah,
it's not like you stick to that command structure all the time. You're like, oh, this guy in accounting is the one to go to because he's going to get my, you know, request done faster or whatever. You kind of learn that. And maybe there's a little bit of that going on. But I see you seem to be saying there's a little bit more beyond that.
Yeah, definitely. Because if that were the case, you know, Hackett had multiple opportunities to leave Shepard out to dry. If it was just that Shepard was an errand specter.
My errand specter.
Right. This is my errand specter. If that was the case.
I am Aaron specter. Your errand specter, Aaron.
Aaron. The Aaron specter.
Aaron. Aaron. E-R-I-N-A-A-R-O-N. That's the first and last name. Your air inspector.
Aaron, the air inspector.
I'm going to inspect your air. Your air inspector here to inspect your air.
Perhaps with that first theory we were talking about, Hackett wants to be Inspector Aaron.
Oh, God. Maybe. Potentially.
No. We're going to backpedal away from that one as fast as we can. And because I was going somewhere with that point. If Hackett really didn't care
Hackett
about...
Hackett was coming from somewhere also.
Oh, no. No.
You were going... He's going... Oh, man.
No.
Entendres. All right. Moving on.
If Hackett didn't care for Shepard very much, then there were opportunities for Hackett to leave them out to dry. Shepard comes back from the dead, right? And is seemingly working with the elusive man, e.g. Cerberus, who, as far as the Alliance knows, at this point is really nothing but a terrorist organization who was siphoning Alliance funds. That's as far as Hackett and the Alliance would know. And they would think, well, this is also the terrorist organization that was experimenting on some of our soldiers and had killed an admiral, Admiral Kahoku. So this is like not a good crowd to run with.
Yeah, I can see that he would have some issues with that.
Right. And then to hear that your Spectre and your golden poster child for, you know, what humanity's military should aspire to be comes back and is working with Cerberus now, like, holy crap, right?
Yeah. A side note real quick, and I know I've done a lot of side notes already, so I'll try to limit this. I did share a post on Twitter earlier of the elusive man, like the little model that you can buy. It's really high quality. It looks amazing. But then I also noticed for the first time, I actually paid attention to the chair he's sitting in. Do you know what the chair is that he's sitting in? When he's in front of the big window with the space stuff in the background, the bright lights and stuff. And he's sitting in his chair. He's always kind of reclined, got his, you know, cigarette or whatever. That is the most uncomfortable looking chair. You would think with somebody with as much money and influence as him, you get a more comfy chair. That thing just looks terrible.
Yeah, it does not look ergonomic whatsoever.
Not at all. Anyway, that's my side note, but go on.
No, I noticed that. It's. I think they put him in a very pragmatic chair for a reason.
Right.
It was like a reflection of his personality, right?
Right, right. But he sits in it a lot.
But it's such a contrast because he's got the, you know, the expensive looking glass of bourbon or scotch. I forget which one it was that he drinks. And then he's got the cigarette and he's got a very nice pristine suit.
Yes. And then he's in a very rigid looking chair that nobody would ever want to sit in for more than 5 minutes.
Right. Maybe because he's a rigid person.
Maybe he's just got a hard ass.
He is a hard ass.
Well, there you go. That's the solution.
You are what you sit in.
You are. That's what we know. What am I? I've got one of those like mesh seats.
I'm a mesh. I'm a mid-tier quality gaming chair is what I am.
Cool.
That's all right. Very cool.
We drove this off the side of the cliff enough. Let's go back to what we were talking about.
So Hackett, Hackett would basically just see that this is not a very good scenario. And we're learning that Hackett cares more about Shepard, because if Shepard was just the Aaron Spectre, then why would Hackett put up with this? Why would Hackett put up with Shepard coming back from the dead and being, you know, working with the terrorist organization that killed an admiral, experimented on soldiers, siphoned Alliance funds? It just doesn't make sense, right? You would really have to care about someone.
You're saying that he kind of gives him the benefit of the doubt. He gives them second, third chances. He seems to be a little bit more patient with Shepard than he would be with anybody else that he works with, being as he's such a just get things done kind of guy.
Well, it goes one step further than that, I think. We also know from the conversation that Hackett gives us in Mass Effect 3 that he never trusted or liked the Elusive Man or Cerberus, even before the events of Mass Effect 1. So given the email correspondence that we find in the Shadow Broker's dossier file for Hackett, we can assume that Hackett was protecting Shepard for more than just to preserve you know, an errand or poster child. Here's that email that I was talking about.
What voice, who's this by?
This is from Major Caleb Antonella to Admiral Stephen Hack.
What does Major Caleb sound like?
I'm imagining just, you know, like a no-nonsense intel guy.
I think Caleb, everybody I've known with the name Caleb is from the South. It's a very Southern, it's like kind of a biblical name.
Like, so like a Southern gentleman?
Is that, there, yeah, sure.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, why not?
Southern gentleman?
Yeah.
You want to go the give this email, this dramatic email reading a try?
I was hoping you would.
The Southern gentleman.
You want to do it?
I'm good on the Southern gentleman, but I trust in your capabilities.
Sir. All right, I need to blow this up a little bit. This is small on my screen. Yeah. Oh, crap, I stretched small. It out. I made it look super dumb. Oh, man. Yeah, it's like tabbed over. I don't know that I can actually... Oh, God, I'm destroying this. I think I just deleted it. Okay, it's back. I don't know. I don't know. Can you? Why don't you go ahead and read it?
Yeah, I can go ahead and stretch it out.
Messing it up. Yeah.
Yeah. 1 second.
we use Google Docs for our show notes. See, it like goes off the side, and you have to like unjustify it with the page, probably.
Yeah.
So you
where
just like
is...
slide it over. Yeah, we don't know. We don't. This is no image
I don't
options.
See the text wrap.
Image options. Text wrap. Here we go. Behind, stand in front of. Oh, well, here, this will be moved
in
over.
In front of is fine.
I can see it now. Yeah, there we go. It's big enough to read. Okay. Let's see if I can do his voice now. Here we go. I'm trying to channel Kevin Spacey, which is a terrible reference in what was that TV show? We've confirmed sightings of. I can't do it. I can't do the voice. I can do Southern. Sir. We've confirmed sightings of Commander Shepard on Omega. This is like very syrupy. And that the commander is now working for the terrorist organization Cerberus. Several alliance officers have let it be known that they consider it crucial that we interrogate humanity's first spectre and his or her apparent dissertation of the Alliance and the Citadel. If we bring Shepard in now, we can gather an account from the commander's past 2 years without being pressured by the galactic media to leak potentially sensitive data. In light of this, I'm officially requesting that you rescind your orders against Alliance contact with Shepard. Rest assured, our department is dedicated to the commander's safety, provided that the Shepherd is in cooperative in furnishing with a detailed report of his or her previous whereabouts and current work for Cerberus. We anticipate releasing him or her from Alliance custody no later than 5 to 7 months from acquisition. Respectfully awaiting your reply, Major Antella. You guys like it? They're getting a lot of responses in the live chat.
And so here's the reply from Admiral Hackett. The reply is even better. It's just Major Antonella, request denied. Hackett.
Right. Yeah, no nonsense. So, yeah, that sounds just like it.
So there's the reply. Basically, the major wanted to go in and interrogate Shepard for, you know, however many months. And Hackett said nope.
Hackett
was just like, no, respectfully, Hackett out. So the clear protocol here would be to allow Alliance forces to bring Shepard in for interrogation. But either Hackett knows something that they don't, or Hackett personally trusts Shepard. Or he's really more cunning and patient than we thought, and Hackett thinks it's best to monitor from afar without giving away their presence. That's another possibility.
Yeah, that's true. He might be playing it kind of close to the chest, just being cautious.
Right, because if you give away your hand too quickly with someone that you're monitoring, they may go shields up, and you're not going to learn as much as you otherwise would have.
Well, and somebody who is or was a Spectre and has a lot of potential influence that you may not even be aware of might be harder to take on than you anticipate. So you're probably going to be a little bit careful if you are going to act against them or in ways that make them realize you're kind of onto them a little bit if they have something to hide, which he may not know he does or doesn't have, you know?
Definitely. And, you know, regardless, I don't think Hackett would stick his neck out for just any Alliance officer in this way, just to protect them from an internal affairs investigation.
No, that seems unlikely. Yeah.
At this point, Hackett's the top of the Alliance military. You know what I mean? Hackett at this point is a politician.
Right. So absolutely. Yeah.
Hackett's credibility is on the line here, especially if internal affairs turns us around and says, we need to investigate Hackett.
Right. Right. Which he could totally get called possible. Out on for not doing something in this situation.
Totally possible. Totally possible that Hackett could fall under the ire of internal affairs after something like this. But that's not what happens. And, you know, there's another reason why I go on this tirade about what if, you know, there are these things that happen where Hackett sticks his neck out for Shepard more than any person would for any normal coworker.
Sure. Right. You're saying, it just doesn't add up. He's treating him differently than other people.
Yeah. Shepard's getting special treatment, and not just because Shepard's the main character.
Right. Right. Yeah.
When Shepard destroys the Alpha Relay to delay the Reaper's invasion and in the process kills an entire Batarian colony, Hackett asks what happened, but is pretty quickly convinced by Shepard's account, saying, well, you know, if it were up to me, I'd be giving you a goddamn medal.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? You know?
Yeah.
So there's a certain level of affinity and respect required, I think, to be able to so easily trust Shepard's narrative and excuse what seems to be a war crime of massive proportions that could lead to another war in the Scalian Verge.
Right. But judging from their backgrounds, and I guess there's a few different options with that, it seems like it would make sense why Hackett would side with Shepard. Like, and this kind of connects to this. I've had this happen with people who are in, I don't know, superior positions to me or whatever, that they just have a sense of like, you're my guy, you do things the way I would do them, and so I'm going to give you a little bit of the, you know, whatever, I'm going to side with you a little bit for this. I just kind of feel like we've got that connection. I don't know.
Right. Giving someone autonomy because they have that credibility.
Right. Like, if I were in your shoes, I probably would have made that decision too. I get you. We've got kind of this thing going where we just get each other because I can tell we're the same type of person. You know, there's that potential too.
But that requires a certain level of years of rapport, right?
Maybe, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes that comes faster. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, that kind of comment makes me lean more towards that as an option, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to just give him the, you know, a pass on everything at the same time. Yeah. Right. Like, you still aren't going to throw your own job out the window by just saying like, nah, I totally trust this guy, even though I don't know him very well.
Yeah. Hackett didn't go from enlisted personnel to top of the military by being a patsy, you know, right, by being a fall guy,
by making justified decisions.
But judging from their backgrounds, I think it would make sense why Hackett might side with Shepard, especially if you chose the Earthborn or colonist background for your Shepard. Mm-hmm. If you did that, then your Shepard has started from dire straits and has made a name for themselves, surviving some seriously, seriously dark times. So that sets the stage for some shared experiences and empathy right there. Because as we covered last week, Hackett lost his mother in 21, I forget the year, but Hackett was 12 years old.
Right.
During a pandemic, lost his mother, seriously traumatic times from the get-go. And that was his only parent. So then Hackett is orphaned at a very young age and then goes into military service 6 years after the fact. So some shared trauma right there. And I think people relate to other people who have gone through the same kind of really traumatic events. There's a bond that's formed.
Yeah.
Even if you weren't there at the same time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
just because I think when you go through really hard things, it isolates you from the general populace. Like if you went through a horrific car accident and you broke your neck and you recovered, you are part of a very small percentage of the populace that has endured that, that has had to go through that pain, that has then recovered from that. And so when you meet someone else that you know, maybe has gone through that, there's a certain wavelength that you will be able to identify on that everyone else can't.
Right.
And it's bringing back to this feeling of maybe belonging, I think. I'm not quite sure, but you get alienated.
Similar backgrounds and shared trauma definitely bring people together.
Yeah, you get alienated from by trauma. You get alienated from the general populace who has not gone through that trauma, mm-hmm. and then when you meet someone who has gone through the same thing, I think there's a certain level of you know we're the same.
We understand each other. Yeah,
yeah. And in Mass Effect 1, Hackett shows remarkable trust in Shepard's judgment when Sovereign attacks the Citadel. And I'm saying this because the reason why it's up to Shepard whether humanity saves the Council or holds the fleets back to focus on Sovereign, the only reason why that is Shepard's choice is because Hackett gives it up. Hackett mm-hmm. gave them that choice. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's a game that's, you know, so this is fourth wall breaking. But they're going to give that player that choice, right? Right. You're going to give the player the choice.
Right. You would expect that to become the player's choice at some point anyway, but this is their justification of why it happened.
Right. But if we're talking within the bounds of the narrative, then yeah, it was not Shepard's authority to make that call. Mm-hmm. That would have been Hackett's. After this battle, though, Hackett is promoted to his top admiral role at the top of the Alliance military. So there's an argument to be made there that Hackett trusted Shepard to make the right call with the boots on the ground kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I can see that oftentimes in positions of leadership, you want to rely on other people around you who have more experience in specific types of things. And by the end of Mass Effect 1, who has greater experience with what just happened than Shepard?
Right. I also think that Hackett's background as an enlisted personnel has something to do with this, because from what I've gathered, having worked around service members, having worked around the military for so long, the people who were prior enlisted and then went on to be officers, they understand what the value, they intrinsically understand the value of the perspective of the boots on the ground,
yeah.
the people who are there,
right.
the people, the enlisted folk.
Right.
And I think they make better officers, honestly, from what I've seen. Yeah. And Hackett is one of these people. And Hackett understands the value of the boots on the ground, and Shepard is the ground's eye view of what's going on. So Hackett relinquishes that call to Shepard in a remarkable, remarkable way. And Shepard makes the call, whatever you choose. Shepard makes that call, and the outcome of that call leads Hackett to being promoted to the top of the military.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting point. The same thing happens in business. You know, managers who have done the roles below them, quote unquote, and understand what that actually takes to do are better managers because they respect the boots on the ground perspective rather than management who's just kind of ended up in roles and they don't really understand what it's like to be doing the groundwork level stuff. But yeah, I totally get that. Well, what do you say we take a mid-break? And I know you've got more details here because I feel like this is going somewhere. So we'll go thank our patrons and we'll be right back.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this station is mine. I like the sound of that.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our patrons for being so freaking awesome. You guys are insane. We have I see four new patrons. I know you counted five, but I see four right now that we need to call out for signing up. Whittier Frog, Kira C, Kolka Shins, and Cyclops 88. Thank you for joining us. And this includes two of you who are now tier 5 Shepherd level patrons who get calls out every week. And we're just going to go down the list here. Kolka Shins is now on that list. Captain Shanko, Kira C, Larry, Lieutenant Tosino, Pipeman Studios, and William. Thank you for being here and supporting us every week, and for being our top tier five. We don't have a tier 6 patron yet, but maybe one day that'll happen. Tier 5 Shepherd patrons. That brings us up to a total of 52 current patrons. And we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. If this show is helping you get through your workday, it's helping you enjoy the games more, it's helping you do your workouts and just drive to work or anything at all, then we'd love it if you go to patreon.com/MassEffectLoreCast. Check out the different tiers. Maybe you want ad-free episodes. Maybe you want a t-shirt. Now, the t-shirts are pretty freaking cool looking. Everybody wears them whenever we do our patron chats. And Captain Lyle in chat says, I got my t-shirt the other day. Well, thank you, Captain Lyle. That's awesome. I love seeing pictures when people get them and get to show them off, because I don't have one. But thank you to everybody. Also, we would do reviews, but we're going to save that for the second episode this week. So stay tuned for that in a little bit. Any other words or thoughts, Sam?
I think I'll save mine for the next one when we talk about the reviews.
All right. Sounds good. Let's get back to the rest of the show.
Spit it out. Or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
So we were talking, and you're painting this picture that Hackett identifies with Shepard on kind of a closer, more interesting way than just the average enlisted person.
Yeah. And I think so. There's more to the similarities between them than just what we've mentioned. Hackett is also tasked with some of the hardest choices from the Reaper War, not just Shepard. Shepard's not the only one making tough calls. We learn from Hackett that after the Reapers blitzkrieg Arcturus Station and they catch humanity by total surprise, he makes the impossibly tough call to sacrifice the Second Fleet to allow the Third Fleet and the Fifth Fleet to escape. I mean, imagine sacrificing an entire fleet to allowing two to get out of there.
Well, it may have been one of those situations where it was either lose some or lose all. So you're going to lose some so that you can keep others safe. And
definitely
that's never an easy call. I mean, okay, Second Fleet, you're up. you guys are going to have to take this one for the rest of us to survive. Like, that's hard.
It was such a grand scale that Hackett tells us this meant that he presided over the worst military defeat in human history.
Yeah, well, yeah, that totally makes sense.
Holy shit. Yeah. All right. Nominally, that's certainly true. And it seems to weigh on him. Nevertheless, he doesn't really let it stand in the way of what needs to be done, though. After his decorated career, I'd venture to guess that this isn't the first tough call he's had to make. And he's watched as Shepard has made some really tough choices that are similarly devastating to their psyche. Hackett has the empathy for the burden of command, I think. Mm-hmm. And I don't know a better way to put that beyond, you know, command has its own responsibility and has its own perks. But at the end of the day, those people's lives are on your hands.
Yeah. Every time you make a decision and somebody else's life has to be sacrificed, that's going to weigh on you. And
yeah,
I totally get that. Yeah.
If you're a good person, I guess. If you're not a good person.
If you're empathetic. Yeah. If you're not a psychopath. Sure. Yeah. Which I don't think Hackett or Shepard are psychopaths.
No, not at all. But that's an interesting part, right? And we were talking about if you chose the Earthborn or colonist backgrounds, but if you chose the spacer background, here's where things get really spicy, right? Okay. Just bear with me here.
Spicy spacers. Here we go.
For the spacer background, both of your parents are lifelong service members, right? We know this. Shepard spends most of their life aboard starships. We also know this. For the spacer background, you also have contact with your mom, Hannah Shepard, throughout the three games. But we don't have any contact with Dad at all.
Right. Which leads us to believe either he's 100% out of the picture for some reason or not alive anymore. But
right.
Well, we don't really know, right?
There's no explanation. There's no explanation on what happened to Dad. He could be dead. He could have been killed in action. Or maybe he abandoned you.
Maybe it's just a deadbeat and disappeared and never to be heard from again. Sure.
Right. Right. So regardless, he's out of the picture. Maybe he abandoned Shepard or maybe not. Don't you think it's a little odd how Hackett takes to Shepard right away? Hackett and Hannah Shepard did serve probably on some of the same ships at the same time.
Okay.
Hackett seems to have good tabs on Hannah Shepard too at all times, given basically what you learn about Hannah Shepard if you're playing a spacer ship. As far as I know, Hackett also doesn't have a family. Hackett never mentions any wife or kids.
Right. It feels like he's married to his job.
And by Mass Effect 2, Hackett is 52 years old without a family or kids.
Right.
You're telling me that Hackett was celibate?
Yeah, or just non-committal.
Right. Right. So yeah. maybe not celibate, maybe non-committal. Even still, Hackett would have to have been Hannah's commanding officer at some point. Meaning that there was probably some fraternization that could have occurred.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, you can see where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
If there was the fraternization that occurred, there's all the more reason to keep it hush hush. Right?
Yeah. I mean, somebody in his position doesn't want to be called out for getting somebody underneath their command pregnant and then all of the details with that. So they might want to keep it hush hush, or maybe they did it knowingly, but they realized that they couldn't have a long-term relationship. And so therefore they just decided to keep it quiet. You know, there could be a lot of reasons why you wouldn't want to reveal your personal life, especially as being such a high commanding kind of person with a, you know, this is one of the other things I know from friends of mine that have been in the military, especially when you're an officer, you have to follow a certain code of morality. And you can get called out on that. If you are doing things against that code, you can, like, that can absolutely end your career.
Yeah. Actions unbecoming of an officer.
Yeah.
A real thing.
Yeah. So maybe that's a thing.
Having a child out of wedlock with a subordinate of yours Oh my God.
Even if they wanted that, even if that was like something they both agreed on, you know, like she wanted to have a child, she wanted it to be his, but they both agreed that like, listen, we're not going to do the whole marriage thing. We're not going to stay together forever, but I'll be there to support as best I can. You know, right. Like that could be a legitimate or illegitimate form of, you know, how that
and
goes.
By the way,
sure.
That doesn't mean that people who serve together never get married. That's not true. They sure. They do get married. But when they do get married, they tell their command about it, and then they no longer work in the same sphere.
Right. It has ramifications. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But if they were working in the same sphere and they were aboard that starship for a long, you know, deployment, who knows?
Okay. So okay. What are your final thoughts on Hackett then? You want to kind of sum this all up?
Sure. You know, there's some doubt there about Hackett perhaps being Shepard's dad. And it would make a lot of sense, right? You know, it would make a lot of sense given just how much Hackett cares, just how much Hackett keeps tabs, just how much Hackett does this, and the way that Hackett talks to Shepard. But
gives
like
him the
I
benefit
said,
of the doubt. Yeah.
Right. But like I said, both he and Shepard have gone through some trials by fire. And they came out the other side better for it. Actually, Hackett, Anderson, and Shepard have all became better leaders because of the hard shit they endured. And that's what Hackett sees in Shepard, I think. Something that he says in Mass Effect 3, which just really encapsulates Hackett to a T, in my opinion, is Shepard... Let me tell you something that I've learned the hard way. You can pay a soldier to fire a gun. You can pay him to charge the enemy and take a hill, but you can't pay him to believe. Mm-hmm. That is so Hackett. You know, Hackett is, of course, saying this in response to Shepard, who asks, why me? Why are you placing so much faith in me? Why am I leading this? Why am I the tip of the spear for the Reaper War?
Right.
And Shepard, Hackett basically says, because your crew believes in you. You know, you brought people from across the galaxy and you made them believe enough to follow you through the gates of hell, through that Omega 4 relay to certain death. Yeah. And you came out, you know, you survived it.
Yeah.
But people dropped what they were doing to just follow you into hell.
A sign of a real leader. Somebody right. who inspires others, inspires
you can't,
belief.
Yeah. You can't pay people for that.
Right.
You just can't.
Right.
So that is a really great line that Hackett says. And, you know, beyond that, Hackett is rugged. He's steadfast and he's unwavering. He's really anything that you could remember hearing in a Chevy commercial.
It's like an old Chevy.
He's rugged. He's steadfast. He's unwavering. He'll get you there.
At 15 miles per gallon, but he'll get you there.
He's Chevy. He's Hackett.
Gas prices right now, that's not very appealing, but okay.
No, but if Hackett were a car, he would totally be a Chevy Silverado.
Absolutely. Yeah. An old one with some rust around the edges, but like
definitely
keeps on running anyway. Yeah.
He's gone through hell and back. Somehow he's still going.
Right. Yeah. Good old thing. Just always starts up. I don't know. I haven't given any maintenance in years, but it still works.
I'm going to start calling Hackett Rust Bucket.
Good old Rust Bucket Hackett.
Yeah. I feel like that would be his nickname in the military. Rust Bucket.
Yeah. Like,
old Rust Bucket.
Old Rust Bucket.
Yeah. He's pragmatic though. And he's patient. But he's firm. Even though he's patient, he's firm in his moral compass. And it seems he's got this gentleness about him that it's like I don't have kids, but if I did, I'd feel good about leaving my children with him. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like he's rugged and he's got that grizzled veteran look, but he's responsible and he's like, he's got that gentleness that he's like,
he's kind of a teddy bear. Yeah. Yeah. It's inside them. Yeah.
I bet he'd be an amazing grandpa. You know.
Oh, totally. He's also the first one who's going to teach you to shoot a gun.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And teach you how to kill someone with like your pinky finger or something.
Right. Yeah. Well, this is how you fillet a fish, kid. Here's a knife. Whoa, that's the biggest knife I've ever seen, Grandpa. I'm only 7. Doesn't matter. It's time to fillet a fish. Here we go. We caught it.
Time you learn.
We caught it. We killed it. We got to prepare. Let's do this. Yeah.
And here's how you fillet a Turian.
By the way,
learned this one in first contact war.
We eat Turians? Oh man.
I bet he probably wasn't above it during the first contact war.
I bet they taste like chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He apparently did some really impressive shit during the first contact war too, so who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe he did eat a Turian.
Maybe. Really tough chicken, but still chicken.
He's a grandpa who can devise a million ways to kill you and exit the room unscathed if he wanted.
Now he's just John Wick.
He's John Wick grandpa version.
Yeah, he's grandpa. That's John Wick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, while we're on the topic of his personality, I think this clip of Hackett's when he delivers the final speech to the fleets in Mass Effect 3, I think it says more about him than we could ever say. Mm-hmm. So we got this clip and we're going to play it.
Let's do in the ad. Here, let me get through the ad real quick.
Okay, yeah.
Stupid YouTube with your ads.
Basically, to paint a picture for people, this is when Hackett boards the Normandy in Mass Effect 3. And so this is the first time that we see Hackett in person, I think. No, it's not. It's the second time we see Hackett in person. First time if you did not play the Arrival DLC. But this is the second time.
All right, here we go. We're pulling it up.
So there's a lot of weight.
Commander?
Admiral?
Are you ready to bring the might of the galaxy to bear on the Reapers?
Yes, sir.
Then let's make sure the fleets are ready.
All fleets reporting in, sir.
Never before have so many come together from all quarters of the galaxy. But never before have we faced an enemy such as this. The Reapers will show us no mercy. We must give them no quarter. They will terrorize our populations. We must stand fast in the face of that terror. They will advance until our last city falls, but we will not fall. We will prevail. Each of us will be defined by our actions in the coming battle. Stand fast. Stand strong. Stand together. Hack it out.
Hack it out. It was so beautiful.
Hack it out.
It was so beautiful.
That's a fucking Chevy commercial if I ever heard one, right?
Like a rock. Yeah, Bob Seger. I got that joke from chat. I have to give chat credit
going
for that.
Against the
yeah,
wind.
Yeah, Presidente Queso and Captain Lyle. Bob Seger in the background. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was. And, you know, not only did that encapsulate the whole rugged and tough Chevy commercial thing that I've been joking about, but it also is reminiscent of some of those old Star Trek episodes, I think, right? The ones that mm-hmm. are like, you know, we're all in this together. It's about all of us.
There was a lot absolutely about bringing the crew together, and the crew together is greater than the sum of all its parts and all that. Yeah
100%. You know, none of us is better than any of us, but all of us are stronger together. Mm-hmm. And considering how much Hackett has been through, and he still doesn't become pro-human or bitter or xenophobic, this speech says so much more about him than it does about anyone else. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, for all intents and purposes, humanity is staring down the barrel of a gun at its doom.
Yeah, the biggest gun it's ever freaking seen. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
At the Reapers.
Right.
And it's like, you know, the ending of all we've ever known and all everyone else has ever known in the galaxy is facing us. And this dude has some brass fucking balls. And he's like, we're going to take the fight to the Reapers. We're not going to give them any quarter. We're not going to give them any quarter. Not that they would give us any quarter.
Right.
We're not going to give them any quarter.
Right. We're going on the offensive here.
Right.
Yeah.
and we're going to knock their fucking lights out, basically. That's what Hackett says.
Yeah.
So the rally the troops speech is really awesome. And it was an amazing moment for Hackett to take center stage in this game series. Hackett's been given a lot of power over the course of his career, but I think it's evident he never set out to gain power. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly who you want in charge.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I feel like we're wrapping this episode up. I would love some of you guys to let us know about your what they think about this Dad Hackett theory. So, you know, let us know on the Discord, chime in, tell us your thoughts. But you also said something about addressing a romance with Hackett. So are we doing something about that too?
Yeah, I did say that. And it's something that just came to my attention recently, but that's like, it's like its whole own topic of discussion that maybe we should save for the next episode this week.
All right. So you heard it here. Second episode this week is Romancing Hackett? ? So stay tuned for that. If you are in the live stream, we'll be doing that directly after this because we do both episodes together. If you are listening on audio, it'll be out later this week. So stay tuned for that. Sam, this has been a fun episode. I have a feeling a lot of people are going to like this idea. There's not a ton of proof, but there's a lot of circumstantial evidence, we'll say.
Yeah, there's enough that if you want it to be true for your headcanon, I think you can make it true.
Yeah. Yeah. Dad kit. Switch in bed. That's, I got to reference this as well. That came from
Admiral Dad kit. Yeah.
Admiral Dad kit. All right, dude. What do you have going on that you want to share before we head out?
Well, it's really exciting about my streams. I always mention them, but really exciting. I just upgraded the quality of the streams a lot. So I installed a new series of themes. It's all very space related.
I saw your end screen too. It looks beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. And the music is custom made. For my stream, the music we mentioned him earlier, Pipe Man, our Shepherd tier patron, and he's been one for quite some time now. I think he's probably about to get his final shirt of the series.
Is that coming already?
I think it is.
I mean, I know I have to get the new designs up for next year's series of shirts by like September.
Actually, no, you're right. I think he's getting the third shirt in his shirt. Okay,
so because the fourth one will be this summer.
Anyway,
summer. Yeah.
Anyway, Pipe Man is, you know, he was also on the music of Mass Effect episode with us, and I contacted him and I said, hey, can I pay you and commission some music for my stream?
Yeah.
And then we worked together and he was like, yeah, this is awesome. And so he made a starting soon song, an ending song, and an intermission song. They're all Mass Effect related. They're all Mass Effect themed and inspired. The first one is about, like, you know, the Shepherd scene when Shepherd is being inducted into the Spectres. So we took a lot of inspiration from that scene. And then he took a lot of inspiration for the ending soon song from Leaving Earth. That iconic song from the beginning of Mass Effect 3. And then he took a lot of inspiration by my direction for the intermission song from the Mass Effect elevator music.
Nice. Nice.
So it's like this perfect, awful bossa nova that he said was a total bastardization of all of his work.
That's the girl from Ipanema, by the way.
12 Alliance soldiers died in the Skillian Verge today. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
the newscast during the elevators. But yeah, those are all my stream has been completely revitalized. And I also bought some new sub badges today that are Mass Effect themed. So if you'd like to check those out, come my long way of me plugging my stream, but come see my streams at N7 The Legend on Twitch and same handle on Twitter.
Yeah, go check it out. Go check out his stream. You can follow me on my streams. Whenever I get a chance to stream, I'll stream some games and things just kind of at a random schedule. Sam is so much better at keeping to a regular schedule than I am, other than the shows, which also show up on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch and YouTube and Facebook. I multi-stream across all of those. And I've got the rest of my shows going on. If you're looking for more podcasts that I do a bunch of lore casts. Lord of the Rings is the newest one, but also Fallout and Elder Scrolls and The Witcher. And then there's lots of other shows over at robotsradio.net. So if you're looking for new shows about video games and the kinds of things that people in our community really like, we've got them for you. Head over to robotsradio.net, check them all out. But that's it for this week. If you're in chat, stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We're going to roll right into the next episode. And if you are listening to this on a device and you're not live with us, we'll be back in a few days with Romancing Hackett. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for being here, everybody. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Later.
Thanks for tuning into the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.